Okay, so it's very, very nice to meet you, everybody, and thank you for jumping in to our ad hoc session. Yesterday it was not on the board. We have one tomorrow, and today it came on the board, so thank you very much. My name is Eyal Manor, and I am the product manager who is leading our Azure Information Protection, the client efforts that you'll see. So we're here to speak with you about information protection. And I've seen so many sessions this week or these 2 days about information protection in Windows information protection, in Office information protection, in Azure information protection. Don't get confused about that. At the end of the day, we are all here to provide you one big unified solution to protect your data. Now, I was asking some people here in the crowd, such as you or you guys, whether you are having an information protection business language. And some of you said yes, some of you said no. What we do understand is that the biggest challenge today in terms of protecting data is to understand it. Where is my secret data? Where are my crown jewels? Who is using them? Who is creating them? Where are they stored? Where are at rest? Who is sharing them? Are they on Box, Dropbox, OneDrive for Business, SharePoint Online, on my PC, on FileShares, and so on and so forth. And after speaking with hundreds of businesses of the past 5, 6, 7 years for me and people working with me on my team, we do understand that the very first challenge for us is to understand the data. We want to understand the data so we can embrace the cloud, so we can move to Office 365, so we can move to Dropbox, so we can know that people at Microsoft, for example, Pragya and me, hi, having some super confidential data, we will not export it or not share it with you because we just want to do it, but our policy doesn't allow us to do that. And what we have come up with is a solution called Azure Information Protection that gives us three pillars called classification, labeling, and protection. And think about that as a chain or some kind of a round of how we are treating the data in our business. And starting with the need to classify the data. When data is created by me as a user, by a machine, as a report being downloaded from ServiceNow or Workday or Salesforce, I would like to make sure that the data is labeled based on my business needs. This is public, this is confidential, this is highly secret, and so on and so forth. And this is followed by a label. The label is a sticky data that joins to the piece of information throughout its entire life cycle. So at any point of the information cycle, I have the ability to look at that, at a snapshot, and say, hey, this is secret. And by the way, the label can change throughout the life cycle. Something can start as super secret today, and by the end of next week, it will be public because I've shared my results or because Ignite has ended. You know, think about yesterday, the declaration of Microsoft and Adobe. Maybe a few days ago, it was super secret. Yesterday, it's 10 p.m., it's super public, so I need to change that. And that's followed by protect. So I classify the data, I've labeled it, I tagged it, I marked it, and now what I'm doing with that. And with protect, there is huge variety of abilities for us to take control of our data. It could be to encrypt it and have access control and permissions. You and I, we are the masters, we can read, write, do anything. You can view only, you cannot print. You guys are not in my project, so you don't have access to this data at all. So this is the ability of the protection. But it's much more than encryption. By the way, when we're talking about protection, we're talking about Azure Rights Management Service, or ADRMS. These are our technologies for protection. We're also leveraging Office OME, Office Message Encryption. We're talking about that. If you have further questions on that, we can talk about it separately. But protection can be far many more things. It could be, for example, a DLP rule that say, hey, this is secret data. It's shared with public information, with public people. I don't want you guys to share with this data with other people. Protection can also be data governance. I would like to govern this data for X period of years while other data is not. And this CLNP, the classification, labeling, and protection, is actually providing us the ability to control the data, as I said before, throughout its life cycle. So if we can see some data is created and used on my PC, and I upload to SharePoint Online, and then my colleague here, Pragya, is using that from her iPhone, and then she's uploading that to Dropbox in order to share that with PragerUrf, it's marketing, so with the PR agent of us. We would like to control this data and to protect it based on the label at any point of time. So this label gives us the persistency, gives us the ability to create a unified business language across the business to detect data at any point of its life cycle. When it lives, when it goes to a storage device, when it goes to email, when it's collaborated with, and based on that, we can do the protection. We have plenty of technologies here at Microsoft that are unified as a one big solution for information protection, starting with Azure Information Protection that gives me the ability to classify, label, and protect the data on my PC and when it's created. Continue with Office Information Protection, Office 365 DLP, that controls the data when it goes through Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business. This morning I heard about some integration with Skype as well. We have Intune that is looking at the data downloading to my devices that are managed, and we're looking at Microsoft Cloud App Security, what we're calling MCAS, that have the ability to control and govern data, also when it leaves the business to what we call third-party devices, such as Box, Dropbox, Salesforce, ServiceNow, Google applications, and more and more and more. So you can see we are not concentrated on the Microsoft ecosystem much more than that. We don't mind if you're looking at a PDF on your iPad downloaded from Salesforce or a Word document used on my PC through SharePoint Online, it's the same. We look at the data whenever it is. So, we've talked for some moments. We have 20 minutes for this session. What I would like to show you is a first overview of what we're doing. This is going to be quick because this is like kind of an express session with backlight and all of these kind of limitations that we have in this set. Tomorrow, 12:30 p.m., we are having a big session only around that with by far many, many more demo scenarios. So some people, like at your business or like at your business, there is or is not information protection business language. The first demo I would like to show you is how we create one, how we engage the users, how we educate the users, how we explain them what's secret, what's internal, what's restricted, not because we have this poster next to the water cooler that nobody sees anymore, but because it's a part of my business process as a user. So you can see here, and that will be very hard for you guys to see. You're far, the monitor is small, there is tons of backlight, but you can see here, and I cannot get my screen larger than that. What you can see here is that we've been adding to Office 2010, 13, 16, on Windows 7, 8, and 10, we have added a brand new information protection business bar. And when I'm working on Office application, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook today, I have the ability to represent this business bar for your users. So let me create a new document here, or let's create a new Word document. And we can say in this new Word document that I've created a business practice. And in this business practice, I'm first saying that I have in my business personal, public, general, restricted, and confidential. And the recycle bin, we'll talk about it a bit later. But I also have the ability to set the ground rule, a common denominator for what's the minimum level of information sensitivity that I would like to have in my business when it's created. In this case, maybe you can see that, it marked as general. So I have the public and personal, but I said, this is Eyal, he's from product management, it will be general by default. I can say that you guys, you're dealing at HR, it will be sensitive HR by default, and you guys are dealing with venture integration, it will be, and so on and so forth, and I can play with that. For me, it will be general. Now, I'm the end user, this is the first time I'm seeing this language, so I can play with that, and you see I'm looking at personal, and it tells me this is a non-business data, and this is what happens. And this is the public data, and this is what happens. So public data means that it has to be approved by X and Y and Z in order to be deserved to get classified as public. And this is maybe a bit more interesting. When I click on confidential, I see that in my business, called Microsoft, we have had an additional set of labels below confidential. So I don't want just to say this is confidential. I want to say it as scope and say this is confidential with customer records. It's confidential with HR stuff. This is confidential for Microsoft executive and stuff, and so on and so forth. And as an end user, I have the ability to say, well, this will be restricted with Microsoft Extended. It's our nice legal way to say Microsoft all employees. But when I said restricted Microsoft Extended, two things happened. So the first thing that happened is that I have this small and tiny visibility. This is very, very nice for me as a user, or when I resend that to Pragya, Pragya will have the ability to know who have classified that and why. But we're doing another thing in the meanwhile. This is confidential data. This is the 1% or the 3% crown jewels in my business. I would like to scope this data to specific people with specific permissions. And if I will look here at file, we can see here that this document has been already encrypted by default using Azure Rights Management in this case with a policy called Microsoft All Rights. Now, from best practice point of view, this is the best protection policy we can deal with. It's very easy to create. We have that by default. We are separating the world to zero, which is people that are working in my business. Even if I work at Microsoft, which is 200,000 people, it's still people that I can trust. Versus one, everybody else, the other 7 billion people live in the planet. Of course, we can create by far better groups, just as finance, just as board members, just as HR, just as Eyal and Pragya for full control, and you guys over there for read-write. And that's pretty much it. Now, sometimes we are looking at how we are getting these labels and setting an information protection policy, and we would like to make that a bit more automatic. So I don't want just to trust the end users to say, this is confidential. Although that many users will start doing that when they see the dashboard, we would like to add also conditions. So if we're talking about conditions, let's take a look here about this piece of document, which is a document talking about Microsoft Azure fraud prevention. It has there some proposal for some specific progress between people in finance that are doing fraud. And we can see here that we have a pattern of three credit cards. And when I try to save this document, and that will be really, really tiny for you to read, you can come closer if you care about it or see that tomorrow or the next days, we get a policy tip. And the policy tip comes because that I'm looking at the content, I'm looking at the pattern, at regular expressions, at strings, at rules between them, at dictionaries, and I recommend the end user to label this document as restricted. Now, this is what we're calling automatic, or I call it, recommended. Or I call it semi-automatic. It's semi-automatic because I recommend the user to do something, I still don't do it. I need the user from business perspective point of view, from legal point of view, from false positives point of view to press that and to say, yeah, I agree. If I'm a bit more certain on that, and here could be another example where I have many more credit card numbers, we can see that I will save this document here. And we see that here the system doesn't really count at me as a user, doesn't really give me options. It's been marked, this document, as restricted out of the on the fly. So that happened on the fly for me, and this document is protected. Now, if we get to some more interesting scenarios and we are moving forward to the third, and you know, maybe one of the most interesting sections for us is that we said before that we have this label and this protection that would like to escort us throughout the life cycle of this document. Means that many times the document is not controlled here on my PC with the client. It's going outside. So let's take a look at my document before, and I will take this document, V10. I will put it as confidential for any user, and I will save it. So this is the finance V10 proposal, V10. And let's try to look at two very, very nice and interesting scenarios. I will need just to close it for a second. Let me open my email. And in this case, I chose to use Outlook Web Access because I don't have the client right now in Outlook Web Access. It could have been my iPhone Outlook or iPhone native application. And I will just go to my inbox and write a new email, and I will send it to my Gmail account, and I will say here my weekend work, and I will take the file that we've just created. It wasn't this one. Where are you? It was this file here. So this is the restricted files that I've just sent. Now, I remind you, this file is labeled, and I don't have any labeling enforcement right now on my Outlook web access. I will click send, and I will try to send that, and let's see how we treat that. So what we can see is that immediately when I'm sending this document, I'm getting back a message from Office Information Protection. This is the Office DLP that is configured to look. That's the undeliverable message, whereas the message itself is here. And we get to see that Office DLP has the ability to use a condition based on our labels. So we set a very, very basic rule saying, if this data is restricted and the recipients are besides my company, just set it back and send a non-deliverable message. Now, this is very, very good for DLP, because usually DLP needs to try to think and doing context matching and looking at dictionary and extracting the content and running through a policy engine. And this sometimes takes time. Sometimes it has false positives. Think about those credit cards. It could have been credit cards because the data is restricted, or maybe a list of credit cards that was sent as a personal information for me. So this is sometimes could be a challenge for DLP. And here we tell DLP, don't look at the data, or I would say it differently, don't look just at the data, look at the label, and let the label help you. And here DLP tells me that this mail or attachment is labeled as restricted, and the message can be sent to external recipients. So this is a very, very nice way to see how Azure Information Protection labels and Office DLP on the other side are working together and helping each other controlling your data. But that was Exchange Online. Let's go to a totally different area. Let's go to Box.net. We don't control Box.net, right? So let me go here, and let's say that I'm at my business having a Box.net enterprise account. Again, not a personal account, but an enterprise account. And I will try now to do pretty much the same thing as before. So that will be my box.net here. And I will take the same file and copy it to my box.net account. Now, I will do even a bit more than that. I will, for example, click here and write share. So I will have a link. So it's publicly available right now to everybody who has the link. And I will try to open another browser. And I shared this information right now with my attorney that is now using this and having the ability to see the document that we've protected before. And this could have put my business at risk, because box.net is far, it's in the cloud, you don't control it, I don't control it until the solution that we're going to see. And again, we are losing control for our data. For that, Microsoft have come with another solution that, again, talks the same language called Microsoft Cloud App Security, CAS. And by the way, in our package from commercial point of view, the CAS and the Azure Information Protection can come together in order to provide you a great value together as one licensing package. And let's take a look at what CAS is doing for us. So this is not going to be a Cloud App Security demonstration. We have plenty of demonstrations down in the expo or at other sessions for that. But in 10 seconds, Cloud App Security gives us the ability to gain back control of the data and user activity and administrator activity of my cloud services, Box, Dropbox, Google Apps, ServiceNow, Salesforce.com, and so on and so forth. Cloud App Security also gives me the ability to make investigation of the files. And what we can see here is that it already, and pay attention for that, it happened like 2 minutes ago, it already tells me that there is the Finance VT proposal that was uploaded to Box. And that happens because Cloud App Security here is looking at my Box account and verifying the user and admin and file activity. Now, I can do a bit more than that. if I will try to expand that, okay, we see that the scanning status is still pending in queue. This usually takes up to 5 minutes. But if I will look at a different document that I uploaded a bit earlier, we'll be able to see that the file is tagged. For that, I have the ability to set business policies. For example, I can say something such as advanced here, show me all data that are restricted, and do we have confidential as well? And confidential. And this really shows me, and you see that the finance V10 proposal V10 is already scanned, so it's being shown up in the policy. And now I have the ability, and tomorrow we are going to show that in greater details, I have the ability to create a rule out of that and to really go through this file and look at its related activity. And in the related activity, I will always already have the ability, so it's not here yet, to see that it was shared and people were using that. And from that, I can create a policy that works based on the label. For example, put files that are marked as restricted and went to a shared location into quarantine. Or log that, or audit that, or alert me as an administrator, or alert you as the data owner. And what we can see here, based on this demonstration, is that we're building here a scenario that really gives us the ability to gain back control of our data, to get our information protection policy to the user, to engage them, to educate them, to have people label data on the fly or based on conditions, to have Office 365 DLP or SharePoint DLP or Cloud Up Security or later third parties to really understand this label and accordingly make a wise action based on your information protection policy. So we are today on private preview. Actually, no, we are on public preview. Over the past 3 months, we have gained more than 500 unique businesses that were trying that already. Few of them are in deep touch with me and people with our team and really made some scaled and really, really nice deployments. And so far, we are getting huge, excellent feedbacks for that. We are going to be on general availability tomorrow at this time. And our general availability version is already uploaded in our download center. What you can do now is go to akms/AIP, Azure Information Protection, AIP docs, to read about getting started, how to download the client, how to experience that. It's really, really cool. It can take like a few minutes for you to start experiencing that and really provide back value to your business in terms of information protection. So we had lots of presentations yesterday and this morning. This is what's coming now. So we are moving forward in this week, and the week is already almost one half over, or like, let's say, one third over. Tomorrow at 12:30, me, together with another person on my team, another person for which I'm on his team, are going to speak about this information in much greater details and to show by far more experience and more solutions and talk about how we classify and protect many more file types and get in deep and talk about the management experience and about our roadmap, what we are going to do in the upcoming 18 months. Few additional sessions about tomorrow in 4 p.m., how we can leverage our secure collaboration scenarios between me and people in my company, me and people that I'm doing business with, and people and my consumers that I'm doing this. So it's B2B and B2C. And we have on Friday a very, very interesting session of one of our customers. Can I say the name? GM, General Motors, coming all the way from Detroit here to speak about their experience with Azure Rights Management and AD/RMS. So with that, guys, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate your time and looking forward to seeing you. Thank you so much.